It's really a privilege to be here. Remember from the early days of Shevach, and actually my wife taught here at one point, and to see the growth and to hear the amazing work that you people, certainly your teachers and most important the students are doing, is something that's very encouraging and makes me feel very privileged to be here today to share a few thoughts with you. We live in difficult times. I hope that you people are not aware of all of the insanity that's going on in the world around us. But it's really beyond anything that certainly recent memories can bring to mind. And sometimes we wonder, what's the future hold for us? What's going to be? There are so many challenges in Eretz Yisrael and here, right amongst us. And when we think back over our history, the last close to 2,000 years of Golus and beyond, we find something very interesting. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in the Hakdama to his Siddur, swears by his life that the miracles that have allowed and surrounded the survival of the Klal Yisrael throughout the Golus for the last close to 2,000 years, and the survival of the Torah together with the Klal Yisrael in its identical form that it was given to us over 3,300 years at Har Sinai. These miracles that have allowed this to happen are greater than all of the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. We're learning, I'm sure you're learning, we remember so much about what happened in Mitzrayim. The miracles on the Yamsuf. And yet the miracle that we are here today discussing Pesach, discussing Emunah, discussing Bitochon, alive and well and surviving with our Torah intact, these miracles are greater than all of the miracles that happened in Mitzrayim and on the Yamsuf. However, it's still important to study Yetzias Mitzrayim in order to recognize the source, to understand what this is all about, what our Emunah is all about, and how we can derive Bitochen from it, and what is, in fact, the secret of our survival to this very day under the most adverse and difficult conditions of any nation that ever walked the face of this earth. And I'd like to talk for a few moments about that. The Rabban tells us at the end of Parshas Bo, I'm sure you've learned it, that from the Nisim Gluyim that we witnessed in Mitzrayim, Nisim Gluyim meaning on a magnitude that was equivalent, the Ramban says in another place, to creation itself. You know, Adam HaRishon woke up late on the day he was created. It wasn't his fault. He was created at the end of creation. And no one ever witnessed, I witnessed creation itself. But in Mitzrayim, we saw Hashem in his full creative powers. We recognized him as the creator of the world. The Nisim that he did, in general, for the Klal, for us, against them, and for each and every individual, was something that showed us beyond any question that Hashem is in fact controlling the world in its totality and is in fact the creator and the ruler of this world to this very day. And that foundation is what has given us the foundation of our Emunah. Eyewitness, millions of people saw miracles, saw Jews drinking from the same cup as a Mitzri, him blood and him water. He saw a Jew standing in a room and he saw the light is brighter than anything we have here today. A Mitzrim frozen in pillars of darkness in the same impossible light, darkness, blood, not water. These things just impossible. These we saw, eyewitness, millions of people, the Bir Yoylam in his full creative powers. But the Ramban says that it's from these Nisim Gluyim that we learn to recognize the Nisim Nistorim, the hidden miracles that take place every single day of our lives. And anyone, he says, who doesn't recognize the hidden miracles in our lives has no chelek b'toras Moshe. Has no chelek in the Torah, because that's the essence. Hashem didn't do Nisim in Mitzrayim and left us alone. And he didn't just assure our survival as the Klal Yisroel throughout the millennia. And he didn't just assure that the Torah remained with us and survives with us intact despite all of the attacks against it. But he takes care of each and every individual with a personal Hashgocha Protis, just as he did in Mitzrayim, despite the fact that global miracles were happening. And that's the lesson that we have to learn. We have to recognize that Hashem is involved with every single detail of our lives. Chazal tell us, Ein odem noikif esbo milamato. We cannot raise a finger in this world. Elim ke machrizin olam milamalo, unless it's so decreed from above. And this is really the lesson of life. This is how we know we go through life. And we realize Hashem is with us. We say every day, Lishuoscho kivinu kol hayoim. For the Yeshua of Hashem, for the salvation, for the help of Hashem, we hope all day long. Not every day, but all day long. Because we need Hashem in every step of the way, in every breath of life, in everything that we do, from the smallest to the greatest. Without Hashem's help, without Hashem's guidance, without Hashem's giving us the ability to function on a daily and momentary basis, we have nothing. We could do nothing. And therefore, this is the essential message that we learn from Yetzias Mitzrayim, that Hashem is involved in every single detail of our lives. And it's all about Him. Last night, after I finished a shiur that we have regularly on Monday nights, one of the participants calls me up. And he says, I just have to tell you a story. It was very interesting. It's the first time I heard it. I just told me last night. The first time I'm telling this over. And it's to me, it was a very, very special, nothing big, but very special. He says that he's a judge, he happens to be, and he has a salary. And he says he takes care of the family needs from his salary. And his wife, she's a college teacher. And she makes some additional money, and that's the money that they give to the children, the grandchildren, you know, like discretionary funds. He says, but sometimes, once in a while, he can't cover the month's expenses. So he asked his wife, he said, I'm short $1,800. I need $1,800 to finish the month. So she writes a check from her account, but she says, I'm going to have to take on new clients now to make up the difference. And he says, no. We learned in the shir, in the Chavis Alavovas, that's what the shir is about. We learned that a person's parnosa is decreed on Rosh Hashanah. And if you do any more work, it's not going to help. Because it's like, you know, I give the marshal, this is not what he told me, I give the marshal, imagine you're working for a big company and you want a raise. Are you going to go to the bookkeeper to ask for a raise? The bookkeeper has no power. Got to go to the top. Well, I'm going to put in extra work, so I'm going to make more money. Sorry. You must go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one who made the Gzerah. He's the one who can change it. Tshuva, Tfilah, Tztoka, Bitochoin, all of these things can influence. But your extra work is not going to help. And his wife looks at him as if, like, what has this guy been drinking? You know, like the shir that he goes to, maybe I should tell him he's not allowed to do it anymore. Like this guy, you know, and she was very, 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 very doubtful. And really, you know, she's taking a new client and she doesn't care what he has to say. The kid said that was on a Wednesday night. They go away for Shabbos, they come home and they take out the mail. And she has a letter from the parents of a girl that she taught as a kala. And they wanted to express our appreciation, how much she did for her and this, with a check for $1,800. She became a believer. She realized that, yes, it's all up to Hashem. There's nothing. We can't do anything if it's not Hashem. You know something? You can't even fight the Yetzer Hara without Hashem's help. You know that? Chazal say, B'chol yoyim v'yoyim Yitzray shalodo misgaber alov. The Yetzer Hara has the edge. I'm sure we know that. And he wins the battles. Except HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us. And therefore, we have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even to exercise our free will, our Bechira Chofshis, which is the one koyach, HaKol Bidei Shomayim, Chutz Miyara Shomayim, the one koyach that we have, even for that koyach, we also have to come on to Hashem. So this is really the lesson that we learn. It's all about Hashem. Hashem is in total control, and He takes care of each and every one of us individually. Now that really is the source of our emunah, and that really is the source of our bitochen. You know, many people get confused about the difference between emunah and bitochen. Emunah really should be referred to as yediyah, knowledge. We know Hashem exists. We know Hashem is all-powerful. We know that Hashem gets involved in the most minute details of our lives. This we saw in Mitzrayim. Millions of eyewitnesses realized this, and we passed it down. And it's so beautiful how we passed it down all over the world for thousands of years. At the same date, different time based on time zones, Jewish people sit down throughout the millennia. I heard it from my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather. I remember my grandfather. And everyone, each one here and all over the world. And we tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's something that has been passed down identically and accurately from generation to generation to this very day. The eyewitness testimony of those millions of people was recorded in the Torah. And we recount that story every single year. At the same time, on the anniversary of the events, Jews all over the world, even those that are not necessarily so observant all the time, but they're doing something to commemorate these glorious events, which are the foundation for everything that we know. What is bitochen? Bitochen, somebody once put it, bitochen is emunah in overdrive. What does that mean? I've taken it, as was mentioned. I could dispute it about my own organization, but I'm not going to get into that now. But as mentioned, is to go the distance from here to here, to take it from the knowledge to the heart, to feel it. The Bali Musa used to say that this is the longest distance in the world, but we have to get it into our hearts. And I feel, not only do I know Hashem is involved, but I know Hashem is involved with me. And I feel it, and I rely on it, and it gives me peace of mind. It gives me menuchas hanefesh. I don't have to worry about anything because Hashem loves me. Hashem is in control. Hashem cares about the most minute details. He takes care of everything. Nothing is too insignificant for Him. And therefore, I don't worry about anything. There's nothing to worry about because He's in my corner. He's taking care of it for me. And I know that the more, to the degree that I rely on Him, to the degree that I hope to Him and refuse to despair, refuse to give up hope, refuse to be me'ayish, and the degree that I rely on Him and count on Him that He's going to help me, it's to that degree that I influence what happens in my life, and it's to that degree that I live the life of total tranquility, of menuchas hanefesh, not having to worry about anything, because Hashem, my loving Hashem, the one who loves me maybe more than I love myself, the one who cares about me, the one who takes care of me, the one who took care of my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, who allowed me to be sitting here, us to be sitting here today with the greatest of miracles, He continues to take care of our lives. And I rely on Him. And when I rely on Him, He says, hey, you're relying on me. I can't let you down. It's just you're counting on me. You realize you have no one else to turn to. I'm not going to let you down. And therefore, He responds. Now, sometimes we don't see the response. Sometimes we don't realize the response immediately. Sometimes the response is a little differently than we would have thought, because He knows truly what we want in our hearts, not just what we think we want. And He knows in the long term what's best for us. But we have to know, to the degree that we put that trust in Him, to the degree that we put that emunah into overdrive, into our hearts, that I feel that closeness and that confidence in Hashem, that He's going to help me, and it doesn't allow me to be nervous or anxious or worried about anything. It's to that degree that Hashem actually helps us to achieve our goals and to maintain this state of constant tranquility and not to have to worry about anything. And I must say, in a society like ours, where people are so anxious, so full of anxiety, so many cases of all kinds of difficulties coping with life, the formula of the bitochen that gives us the Menuchas HaNefesh is above and beyond. And I thought that maybe I would share with you a couple of personal experiences, maybe some formative ones that I believe that in my family have formed the foundation of the strength that we are able to muster to be able to face the challenges of life and to continue and maintain the derech, the derech haTorah, and despite obstacles and challenges that we face. I would say, and it's not accurate historically because I really don't know, maybe it all started in Tavshin Chav Ches, I think that's what it was, in Yerushalayim on Pesach. I'd just gotten engaged to a Yerushalmi, a girl from Yerushalayim, and we sat at the Seder with her family. And for some reason, we forgot about Mitzrayim. We forgot about Paroi. We forgot about the Makkos. We forgot about everything. As my future father-in-law began to tell us the story of how he escaped from Europe in 1940, when everything was turned against us, when the world was in upheaval, when the life of the Jew was in danger no matter where he was in Europe, and he managed miraculously. It was actually a series of 10 miracles that allowed him to escape, to get from one end of Europe to Italy to get a boat, and to get to Eretz Yisrael, Mamish Erev Pesach. And we got so caught up in it, and it was so amazing. And look at the miracles. And we forgot about Mitzrayim, but we learned the true lesson of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Because the lesson is to recognize the miracles in our own lives, to recognize Hashem's Hashkocha Protis, to recognize how Hashem preserves us under the most adverse conditions. And this is what we did. I think it was something like 2 hours just listening to the story. I was enthralled. It was the first time I had heard it. And it was like, wow, it's not ancient history. Here's a live witness who was telling us the events of his life and showing us, look, see the hand of Hashem miraculously in every step of the way. And we went on, and you know, in our lives, we also had some very interesting experiences. We moved in the mid-70s to the San Fernando Valley. That was a very unlikely place to try to build a yeshiva. It was considered the place that you ran away, the furthest place you could run away from Yiddishkeit in those days. And anyway, and times were tough. Money was very, very tight. So it was a summer night, early August, I think it was, 10:30 at night. And my oldest daughter asked me, she says, she was in a day camp, I'm going on a trip tomorrow with the day camp. I need 75 cents to buy a soda. And I said, I don't have 75 cents. What should I do? Say Tehillim. She looked at me a little bit. She was a good kid, but she looked at me a little bit like, my poor father can't make a living and I have to say Tehillim, you know, like, what do you want for my life? Anyway, so she sits down with her younger sister and they're saying a few kapitlach Tehillim. And she gets up then and she says, I don't get it. I need the money tomorrow morning early. I'm leaving 7:30 in the morning. What's going to change? Little kid mumbled something, maybe somebody, something. I don't know what she said. She goes to camp without the money. I didn't have it. Emes. She comes back with a story. She says, a friend of hers borrowed 75 cents from her at the Purim Carnival. That must have been like 4 months before. Never thought about it. They forgot about it. It was as if it never happened. That morning she wakes up. She lived in the city, which was like 10 miles away. She wakes up and says, I owe the Cohen girl 75 cents and I forgot to pay her. 4 months later, never thinking about it, never discussed, never talked. She brings the money to the camp. She pays her back her 75 cents. My children learned so many lessons from this. Number one, Hashem listens to tefillah. We pray, he's there, he's listening. Number two, he sends a message 10 miles away to this young girl who they both never thought about this to wake up that morning and say, oh, I owe 75 cents. And number three, he cares even about a paltry 75 cents. The truth of the matter is, I wouldn't say a paltry 75 cents. I once had a situation where I was learning with someone who was becoming a Baal Tshuva, and then he asked me if I can give him a ride to the railroad, because it was a little bit late, we went overtime. So we passed a stationery store on the way. He says, oh, I got to buy something. Ooh, boy, thank you for reminding me. My daughter asked me for a pen. I forgot to get it for her. And he says, when you go, when you get the pen, he comes out. And I figured, here I have a, we used to call it a Kodak moment, how I could really be mashpia on him. I says, look at that. Look how Hashem takes care of little things. We went overtime. You asked me for a ride. We happened to pass a stationery store. You needed something. That triggered my memory. Now my daughter has a pen. And he looks at me pathetically and says, you don't get it, Rabbi. Says, Hashem doesn't care about little things. To Hashem, whether your daughter has that pen or not is very, very important and very significant. And you got it all wrong. And I did. Anyway, let's move on a little bit. You know, as I told you, life in the San Fernando Valley was tough financially. Baruch Hashem, beautiful things happened there. But financially, it was, I used to say about the valley, the nicest thing they said to me was go home. And to New York, not to my house in the valley. Anyway, so it was a Friday morning. Happened to have been 9 o'clock Friday morning, the day after Thanksgiving. And my wife calls me up and she says, I have no fish for Shabbos. So I say to her, why'd you buy? I mean, we went through this routine many times, but we used to do it all the time. It was fun. Have no money. Well, neither do I. Well, what should I do? You have to have bitochen. If you have bitochen, you'll have fish. If you have bitochen, you don't need fish. No. You have to have bitochen, you'll have the fish. Okay. 5 minutes later, a young man walks in. He lives today in Far Rockaway, if anyone wants to check it out with him. Yeah, his name is Kessler, Saul Kessler. He walks in, he was learning in the Beis Medrash at the time, you know, he had graduated the high school in the Beis Medrash. I said, so where were you yesterday? You took off Thanksgiving Day? What? He says, no, my father was off from work and he wanted to take out the boat and he had nobody to go with. So I had Rachmanis, so I went with him. But look what we brought you. A plastic bag this size full of fish. 5 minutes later, yeah, bitochen is real. It works. It's the ultimate truth. It's the lesson we learn from Yetzias Mitzrayim. There was a wise guy, when I told this story over, actually in this neighborhood, to a certain whatever, and there was a wise guy sitting in the back of the room, all the way right back over there, and he says, it wasn't gefilte fish. So first of all, a Rishalmi girl knows how to grind fish and make gefilte fish, you know. I mean, that was no big deal. But, okay, oh, gefilte fish you want. Let's fast forward 15 years. I'm walking along Central Avenue in the Five Towns, and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and my wife calls me up, and guess what? She has no fish for Shabbos. Oh, why don't you buy? I have no money. Neither do I. What should I do? Yeah, I'd be talking. We know the story. We've done it many, many times. 2 minutes later, mamish, there used to be a place called King David Delicatessen, and Mrs. Ross was the proprietor. She opens the door. It looks like the shades were closed already. They were closed for business on Friday afternoon. And she opens the door. Rabbi, come here. I said, whoa, what's the matter? What's going on? She says, we just started doing takeout this week, and we have these two big loaves of gefilte fish left over. I didn't even say left over. She was nice about it. I want you to take it home to your wife to see how she likes it. You wanted gefilte fish. Now you got your gefilte fish too. And this is the story. This is the way. This is life. This is the real life. This is where we see when we have no choice but to put our trust in Hashem. That's when it happens. There was a year, I remember in L.A., that I had about $500,000 sitting in a money market in the bank for the yeshiva, not my money. We had an inheritance of money. I couldn't daven that year. Because every day after the end of Shmoneh Esrei, I say, Hashem, I need $10,000 today. I need $20,000 today. I need $5,000, whatever I needed. So, but that year when I had the money in the money market, I said, I need $10,000 today, but if you're not in the mood, I'll just write a check from the money market, so don't worry about it. Couldn't daven. But when I know I have no choice, there's no fish for Shabbos. Ah! Then we turn with a full heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he responds. To the degree, now by the way, bitochen can be mistaken. One can pretend or fake themselves to think they have bitochen. Say, oh, you press a button right over here, it's right over here, try it. Ooh, now I got bitochen. It doesn't work that way. Rabbi Saul Salanta, There's a famous story which really puts this in perspective. Somebody came to him and said, I need 10,000, whatever the currency was. He says, buy a lottery ticket and have bitochen, you'll win. So the guy buys a lottery ticket, bitochen, doesn't win. Again, doesn't win. Comes to Rabbi Yisrael, he says, I have bitochen, but it doesn't help. He says, you still have bitochen 100% that you're going to win the $10,000 ruble? He says, yeah. Will you sell me your ticket for $5,000? Yes. Who are you fooling? If you truly believed and trusted, not faking, not pretending, not fooling yourself, that it's actually going to happen, you wouldn't sell me that ticket for a penny less. So we have to be careful. It has to be real. But it can be real, because when we see all the nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim, when we see the nisim of the survival of Klal Yisrael, when we look around the room and see the nisim that each and every one of us represents in our personal family history of how we are here today under the most adverse conditions throughout history, that gives us the strength to find that connection to Hashem and to really begin to say, hey, until now, he's done so much for me, he's going to continue to do so. And that's really the key. Another quick story comes to mind, I'm trying to decide which one comes to mind. Let me just tell you one more story, because it's interesting. We used to send away our graduates to learn in yeshivas, because L.A. at the time, the valley, was not a place for yeshiva bochrim. About 5 or 6 of them were home for the summer, and we were discussing maybe they'll stay and learn in the Beis Medrash this year in the yeshiva. It would have been a tremendous chizuk. We had just a small group that stayed there, just a token little group, and it would be a big chizuk, and for the high school and for the whole community, it would have been a tremendous thing. But they had a condition. The condition was that I spend the whole morning Seder in the Beis Medrash. That's from like till 1:15, whatever time it was, because they're really a small group and they need someone to talk to and learning, and that was the condition. I said, I'd love to do it, but I don't know how I can make such a condition to prime time to spend in the Beis Medrash when I owe so many hundreds of thousands of dollars from previous years and I have to raise another few $100,000 and I have to teach. Now, I don't know if I can make. Give me 24 hours. I don't want to make a rash decision. I go home and I ask my wife, and she doesn't skip a beat. She says, it's a Mishnah Mefureshes in Pirkei Yovas in the third parak. Omer Reb Nechunya ben Hakona, HaMekabel Olav Oil Torah, Ma'avir Mimenu Oil Malchus Oil Derech Eretz. If you accept the burden of Torah, then the burden of Malchus, which to me was the taxes, the government, the payroll taxes used to kill us, and the Derech Eretz are making money, miraculously will be removed. HaMekabel. The next morning, it was a week before Rosh Chodesh Elul, I go tell the Chevra, I say, Rosh Chodesh Elul, I'm in the Beis Medrash. That night, I meet a man, my father wants to talk to you, speak to his father, oh, I'm going to spare you all the details, he introduced me to someone who was a sick man, he was mamish, like, on the last koiches, had no family, nothing. He wrote a will a week later, and he didn't know how much money he had, he lived like a pauper. Mamish's apartment was atrocious. We went in there, we tried to clean it up, we tried to help him. Left the yeshiva $1 million. The day that I was mekabel the old Torah, as Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakona said, that's the day that the Oil Malchus and the old Derech Eretz was miraculously removed. That money covered, those days $1 million was a lot of money, and it covered all of our expenses and took care of everything. And this is the way, this is the reality of life. But I want to share with you one more thought before I end. I want to ask you a question. And it's very important that you get the right answer to this question. The question is as follows. When Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu this Mishnah at Har Sinai, HaMekabel Olav Oil Torah, Ma'avir Menu Ol Malchus Ol Derech Eretz, did he have me in mind in the San Fernando Valley? Or was it just a general statement to everybody? I think it's clear Hashem has everything in mind. He knows everything. He's focused on everything. He doesn't forget. Lo yonov lo yishon, ein shikcho lefnei kisei kvoidecho. Which means that message of Reb Nachunya ben Hakono was a personal message to me, taught to Moshe Rabbeinu, hey, remember, pass it all the way down, and I have this guy Cohen in mind as well, that 3,300 years later, he's going to take advantage of it, and I'm going to deliver on that with my Ashgocha Protis, with my promise, just as I have taught you, Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai, to bring that message to him. We're very fortunate that we have a Torah. We're very fortunate that we have a Yomim Tovim, that we have Pesach, that we have Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we have a Seder, that we have an opportunity on the anniversary of these miraculous events, having been passed down to us from eyewitnesses throughout the generations, to celebrate and to relive the events, and to strengthen our emunah, and to inspire our bitochin, that we too can live a life fully cognizant, fully aware, fully reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything in our lives. And we learn the message that if, in fact, we put that trust in Hashem, then that trust has the power to deliver beyond anything we can imagine. And I just want to close just with one more thought. There's an Orach Chaim HaKadosh in Parshas Mishalach. Moshe Rabbeinu is davening, Paro is pursuing them, the Yam Suf is over here, Paro is behind, the wild animals are here and here, and Moshe Rabbeinu is crying out to Hashem, help us! And Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, matitzak elai, daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisol. What are you calling to me? Speak to them and they'll go. They'll go into the Yam Suf, everything will be fine. So the Orach Chaim asks, matitzak elai? To whom would you like me to call out? Who would you suggest that I pray to? To the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, that's the problem that we had. He says like this, because of what they did in Mitzrayim, they got involved to a certain extent with Avodah Zarah. So there was the Satan had the ability to interfere with their tefillos. A kitrik, it's called. He could accuse. Ah, they're going to listen to their tefillos. Look what they did in Mitzrayim. So Hashem says, Ma titzak elai. No, now tefillah is not going to help. Dabar el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso emuna and bitochoin. That's going to help even where tefillah can't. Tefillah is so powerful. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah was such that had he been misfollowed one more time, then Minyan v'eschanan, Hashem would have let him go into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem said, please. He says, I'll toisef dabra elai. But there's something even more powerful. And that's the power of emunah bitochin. The Seder can inspire us to strengthen that emunah and to develop and enhance that bitochin, that trust in Hashem. And that is a power that's invincible beyond any other power that we know. Hashem should help that we should be able, through the learning that precedes Pesach, through the Pesach experience itself, to grow and strengthen ourselves in Emunah and in our Bitochen in Hashem. And that Bitochen should become the focus of our lives, that we rely on Hashem for everything, and that we know that He's involved in everything, and that we know that He loves us and cares about even the most minute detail. And that's chus, we should be zoiche, that Hashem should fulfill all of the requests of our hearts. They should all be fulfilled, l'teva, and we should be zeicha to hear good news in a world that's so challenged with insanity. And we should be zeicha to be makabel p'nei Mashiach tzidkenu b'mehera b'yomeinu. Amen.